Meanwhile, at Warp Zone.
The Empire strikes back with multiple laser attack, Decepticon infiltration, stealing information, tapping communication with Recordicons, target masses, sound wave stereo. I don't believe in a no-win scenario for an epic adventure, no retreat, no surrender. Cleaning up the city with Mayor Mike Hagar, clashing with the Foot Clan in the shadows of the streetlights, spotlights, bright lights. And if you've got a new pet, don't feed him after midnight. Cruising on our bicycles, we never say die. From the attic to the basement, uncovering the secrets with the power bracelet. Ryu and Ken style, kicking it on the 88 miles per hour, we at a time. Meanwhile, at Warp Zone.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Meanwhile at Warp Zone. As always, I'm Carrie, and we have Scott with us as always as well.
What's up?
And then today we have some specially selected guest hosts. We have Nick.
Hey, this is Nick El Punisher.
I would just like to clarify, it's a different Nick. From our last podcast.
He's El Punisher.
El Punisher. He clarified it, but I just wanted to make sure. Go ahead.
And we have
Nidies as El Punisher.
Yeah, we can do that.
And we also have Dave.
Hi, everybody.
And the reason that these two gentlemen were selected, because of the circle of friends that I roll with, these are probably my two biggest Marvel guys that I know. And that's what we'll be talking about today is, you know, Marvel goodness. I know it's a pretty broad topic. You've got movies and toys and cartoons and comics and 10,000 other products you can buy emblazoned with Wolverine, Magneto, and the like. Scott, did you have anything that you wanted to roll into before we proceed?
I thought we'd do another interview questions to find out who we are and who these new guys are. Over the years, I mean, we've all watched movies and we're like, that was awful. And especially when it's something that it's like maybe a character or something like that you really loved, or a story based off a book or whatever, that something that you really loved, and you were like, oh man, I could have crushed that movie. Those guys were awful. And so I thought, what better thing to choose other than saying, what movie could you have done better?
I have a movie that I always thought I've hated. I thought it could have been done better. It could have been portrayed better, and it's comic book related. It's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It did not follow Alan Moore's book whatsoever.
It
was almost like it was its own story, and I always felt like that movie, if it was done the way Alan Moore's book was done, it would have had a bigger following. More people would have seen it. There may have been more to come with the movies from that. So that, and I never liked the way they tweaked the characters to not follow what they were in the book. So
I've never actually read the books, and I have watched the movie, and I know it's not a well-received movie. I know most people don't like it. I thought it was an okay movie, but I have no basis of the source material. I have never read any of it, and you know, it's something I should probably go back and check out, because I mean, I love Watchmen, and you know, I definitely could see where it could have been improved. There was a lot of cheesiness to it too.
I tried to because I watched the movie and I tried to read the books, and I'm such a wuss when it comes to like series comic books, because I'm just like, I can't stay around for this. Like, it has to leave. And even still, even comics that I love, I'm like, I can't do this anymore, like Walking Dead and stuff. I just can't, I don't know. But
Alan Moore's kind of an acquired taste. You have to kind of read ahead, almost. Like, you have to just kind of push through the beginning.
Yeah,
you have to get through it to actually get to the good stuff.
All that preamble.
there's just so many things in the book that were missing in the movie that really could have made the movie better. And surprisingly enough, Carrie, there was sodomy in the book.
Oh my.
Leave it to Alan. Before the show started, because I told them that there was a, upcoming show that the topic we didn't want to have as much dirty stuff set in because of what the topic was. And I said that I'm going to have to get all my sodomy talk out ahead of time because I think I referenced it like 10 times last podcast.
Sometimes you got to talk about
it. We had to beat the record. So. Yeah.
You got to do it. No,
he's kind of a more serious writer. And with Watchmen and with V, they followed it fairly well, but just League, they really screwed it up hardcore on that. And I couldn't get into the movie at all. From the start, it really just threw me off.
Do you blame Sean Connery?
No, I don't blame Sean Connery. Good. I love Sean Connery as an actor.
I love Sean Connery.
It's terrible that movie turned out that way.
Yeah, I read a lot of like Alan Moore, but I don't know, like it was just tough for me. What about you, Carrie?
I think I'm gonna. Can I go with a franchise, or sure. do I have to pick an injury? I'm gonna go with the Transformers movies.
Oh, man.
And I know that's a pretty big cop out, but I mean, who doesn't complain about doing something better with a Michael Bay movie?
Carrie always picks the cop out. Like
I do pick the cop out a lot.
Like it's like the doy.
But I mean, in my defense, I am a big Transformers guy, and I mean, I know it seems like the cop out, but the thing to me was, I was like, what's something that I watched? Like, these guys are talking about this comic book they enjoyed, and then, oh my, I get to watch this in another medium now. I hope I enjoy it. I mean, that's kind of what happened with me in Transformers. It's like, uh-oh, somebody's shit in my face at the movie theater.
Not this time, Carrie.
Not this time.
Yeah.
And I mean, the reality of it is, I mean, it wouldn't even be that difficult to do a better job. It's just got a different appeal. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't really want my Optimus Prime to have, like, flames painted on him. And, you know, like, you could have modernized it to a degree without just making it kind of silly, too, at the same time.
Yeah.
I know at the time, and this is my guesstimation of it at least. I know at the time they were putting out all these humongous, outrageous render times that they had to do for the CGI scenes. Like, oh, every second that the Transformers are on screen, that took 3 days to render. You know what I mean? Like, they're talking about seconds. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, that 1 second took, you know, 8 machines, 3 days to render that. And it's just like, okay, maybe we should have just reeled that back a little bit so we could have the Transformers in more than like 20% of the movie, because that was my big beef. There's so much human, you know, stuff going on. There's too much. I don't give a crap about Shia LaBeouf. I mean, that was. I don't give a crap about what he's doing. I think I enjoy his parents more, his characters, than him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God knows my sisters do. Oh my goodness.
But I mean, that's the thing is, like, I've honestly found a little more enjoyment in some of the sequels, and not overall, but just like certain like robot representation. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, that was a cool version of so and so, and it's like I can handle that. But as a whole, there's just you know, it's awful. It's like we went to see the new one, and I think it's like, I've checked my watch. It's like, we've been here for 2 hours and I have yet to see a Dinobot. You know what I mean? It's like, I thought that was like the big sell for this movie.
They're on the poster.
We forgot to tell you that the render time is so high that it's still rendering and it's going to be ready for the Blu-ray.
Yeah. But it's, you know, how
they release video games that are incomplete, and when you put them in, they have to patch immediately. That's what they're going to do with movies from now on. It's going to be like a frame not found sections of it that'll be on the Blu-ray, but not at theaters.
Just like a grip holding like a plastic cutout of Optimus Prime.
He's like, he like starts moving it like all fancy. Like, he's doing it. What's that?
I said, can I ask you something?
You sure can.
Now, as a big Transformers fan like you are, do you want the franchise to just die where it's at, or would you rather them to keep limping along?
I would rather have what I can get than nothing at all.
Okay.
Yes, I agree.
Because I have a lot of friends who are Transformers fans, and they're just like, no, I wanted to die, and I would love for them to start fresh in, like, maybe 5 years or so, something like that.
I mean, I would be more than happy with a reboot,
reboot it right away.
And I'm fine with that as well. And the only reason you would need a reboot is if you wanted to kind of change the vision, like the way it looks and stuff like that. Like, yeah. Otherwise, you could just do different storylines. But yeah. I mean, I'm more than happy to have, you know, a reboot and somebody else handle the property. But the way I look at it is, even if you don't enjoy a modern incarnation of something you enjoy, it keeps the property alive, period.
Yeah.
Like you draw in a younger audience. Maybe they like flamed up Optimus Prime. You know, I know there's a ton of kids that like that stuff. And and you know what happens a lot of times? That's like that's the gateway drug of toys. You know what I mean? It's like, I got these terrible movie ones. Man, look at these original ones. They're so much nicer.
Yeah, that's what keeps your type of business alive, is stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, it's like
cigarette. I want a Beast Wars movie.
It's like
movie.
Cigarette marketing the chill.
Oh, man. Beast Wars.
I want a Beast Wars movie, Carrie.
I see. I'm not a big Beast Wars guy. I have an appreciation for it, but it's not.
Oh, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, my Transformers isn't even the original show as much. It's all about the 86 movie for me, man. That's kid, because I didn't have like good cable or anything, but I had access to that movie. Watched it 300 times, probably. Yep.
As disturbing as it was, I watched it over and over and over again and cried when Optimus died. But I guess what mine would be, and I'm sure everybody knows it, is Max Payne with Mark Wahlberg.
I have not watched it.
Oh my gosh. It made.
Thank God.
It's just, I mean, I loved Max Payne, the game. Like,
it was a pretty brutal game at the time, especially.
It was brutal, and it was fun, you know, for where it was, you know, the slowdown and stuff like that. But the story was like super good,
right?
And like the dialogue was ridiculously good, and his like, you know, in his mind banter, it was just amazing. And it is like, there's no comparison. Like, there's nothing.
Well, isn't there like even like supernatural stuff in the movie? I've never watched it, but I from what I've seen, there was like some kind of angel in one of the like scenes.
Yeah, there's like hallucinations with drugs and stuff like that. There was that, but in the game, but he never like took it, and there wasn't any, like, you never saw the angels, but it was like, it was kind of funny, like that part where he's like, he's all effed up, and he's like, oh, and it's like close to the end, and he's got to take down the big guys, and he's like, I'm going to shoot up. And that's and that like makes him better. And so he goes and just starts killing people in just boring ways. But regardless, now, it was.
What do you think of the casting? How are you with the lead there?
I thought they would have been just fine with the actual voice actor, because the voice actor, his voice was just awesome. Like, it was so down, dirty, gritty.
Down, dirty, gritty.
Yeah, and I looked at pictures. I'm like, this guy would have been fine. I mean, he doesn't need to act good or anything. He just has to.
He knows how to act to be the character. Yeah. I mean, he is the character.
Yes. In all of them. In every single Max Payne, he was the character. And, like, and he didn't. I mean, that would have saved you, like, a ton of money right there instead of paying Mark Wahlberg to suck it up, you know? And even like the release that they made on DVD was, they tried to like make the violence, they're more violent. So whenever like people got shot, they added all this computer generated blood. And like, there's one point where he's beating up Chris O'Donnell. He's like wailing on him, and he's in the dark, and all you see is all this blood splattering everywhere, and it's all, you know, computer generated. And then he pulls him into the light, and it's like he's got like one little trickle of blood coming out of his nose, and that's like it. I'm like, this has just gotten awful. So that's mine.
Yeah, I never watched the Max Payne movie, so I don't know.
Don't.
Like, they couldn't even promote it well enough for me to think it was going to be good.
It was abysmal. And I just thought it would have been the best thing in the world.
Yeah, my bootleg guy knocked on the door one day, and I'm looking through the movies, and I'm like, Max Payne, they made a movie? and I didn't even know about it. I think I watched half of it and shut it off. I mean,
yeah,
I didn't even know.
Yeah, it's bad.
I had no clue.
It's not worth remembering.
It's not worth remembering.
It's bad.
That's terrible.
It hurts me.
Maybe I should shoot up and watch it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's what the director was doing.
It's got to be something.
This is great.
This is what's going to save him at the end. This is what's going to be his savior. He's going to shoot up and then he's going to be like super. It's going to be great.
Captain America. You're going to be a super soldier.
Yeah. That's all it takes. Kids. There's all right, your Nicholas. Message. Who's next?
What's your movie that you will be...
I wouldn't know where to start. I mean...
Oh, God.
Superman, Daredevil, Elektra, Punisher, and Spider-Man. I mean, God. I'm more of a Marvel guy, but they've let Superman down so bad over the years.
Yeah, I can't.
Like they just butcher the storyline and
it's boring,
ridiculous stuff, and just like this is the beginning. Seconds later, this is 30 years later. First scene, Jonathan Kent's dead. I mean, let him be in the movie a little bit, just a little bit. You know, kill him off right away. Tornado carries him away in the new one, like in the beginning of the movie. I mean, he's a key character. He raised him. Yeah. I mean, he was even in his life later. I know he died at one point in the comics, but okay, later. He was killed, like, right away in the beginning of the movie.
Like, we don't need him no more.
Yeah.
Forget about that guy.
Some wins. And then, I mean, he could have saved him, but to hide a secret, he didn't, which is in a way is understandable, but was Superman really going to let his father die?
It was hard to swallow. That was definitely it was a little hard. Like I understood, but it was hard to swallow.
That whole movie was hard to swallow.
that was horrible. And as much as I would like to talk about Daredevil and Elektra because they were horrible, and
I don't mind Daredevil.
I don't mind.
You may be the only person in history who said that, Gary.
I'm saying Daredevil right now too.
You guys can witch hunt me all you want.
Daredevil was bad. It wasn't the worst thing on earth. Daredevil was bad. Elektra was horrible.
Here's the thing for me, and this is my argument for Daredevil. At the time Daredevil came out, I felt like it was the best superhero movie we have ever received.
It's true.
Like up until that point. I mean, you're talking some really bad predecessors prior to that.
Yeah, I gotta give that to you. Yeah, you might.
So when that movie came out, I was like, damn, that was almost like a real movie. It wasn't like some dude dressed up in his pajamas on, you know, somebody's camera in the backyard.
It was almost like they put effort into it.
Well, I know everybody hates it, Nick. I'm just like the only one that defends it half the time.
No, the movie that I don't think they did the worst job on, I actually think they did an okay job on, but I just, it still bothers me.
Oh, it could be a lot better. This goofy.
It's Spider-Man.
Oh, Spider-Man.
Oh, yes.
Spider-Man because I love Spider-Man so much. All of them? I mean...
All of them? Even the new ones?
Okay. They were all entertaining to watch, except for maybe three. They were all
Nobody likes three.
Yeah, three was awesome.
The new ones weren't bad at all. I mean, I see, this is the thing with me. I will enjoy every movie that's put out there because a character we love is out there. Right. Because they're bringing his name, his image, him back to the light. They're trying to rekindle it, relight it, bringing back the fans. So anytime they make a Marvel, especially a Marvel, and or maybe a DC or comic movie, I will go and watch it. Yeah. Even if it's garbage, I will either have it on bootleg or DVD. And it could be garbage. Just because put our characters out there, I will show love and support. As horrible as it was, I might even watch it a second or third time to give it another chance. Because just the simple fact that we got them.
Yeah,
because it's better than nothing.
Hey, I'll admit I've watched Ghost Rider more than once. So what's that saying right there?
Oh, yeah. Nicholas Cage, why?
Why Nicholas Cage?
and I like Nick. I like Nicholas Cage. I do.
But he doesn't belong being somebody over the years.
But not as Ghost Rider. I mean, God, my fat ass probably could have did a better job. Like.
I kind of prefer that they I think that I almost rather have them not pick as big a stars as some of the ones they pick because
yeah, they
it's
pick
hard
nobody.
for because that star kind of like sometimes overshadows the character. You know what I mean? You can't be like, I'm like, okay, that's not Lex Luthor. That's Kevin Spacey. And he's actually, did I really think this guy was a good actor? Because he's a terrible fucking Lex Luthor. I was like, really? This is the cheesiest Lex Luthor
I've ever seen. One of those, I'm not the guys that get full of the rage. I do get disappointed and a little angry. There's guys out there who get like, they're so, I don't know how they don't turn green and flip over cars. Knock down buildings, but. I do prefer that they keep more to the origins, a little more.
Right on. Well, here's the thing, though. Like, I get tired of origins, though, too. Yeah. Because it's like every time there's a reboot, we got a re-origin.
I feel like we could just, I feel like with most comic books, we could just start. You know, just don't, why do we need, we, you know.
I think that they're going to get to a point where it's like, okay, we know who the fuck Spider-Man is and where he came from. Yeah. Let's do. Can we do Maximum Carnage already?
Yes.
Yeah, but I'll be happy with one accurate origin is fine, and then from now on, do whatever you want to do.
Right on.
Just do whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? But I mean, I don't know. They're always trying to reinvent the origin and just go a different way.
Yeah.
Go a different. Like the bullet to Xavier's back in X-Men.
They do that a lot, and what's so weird is like it's almost like a lot of times then they'll go back to the comics and muddy up the continuity of the comics because it's something they do in a movie.
Oh, so many times. I have a lot of like facts that I'm gonna be reading off at the end of the podcast about that, and it's nuts like how often they do that.
They've done it a lot. Like, they'll completely rewrite somebody's story. You know what I mean? Like, oh, my God.
You try to like
he said, like in the comics, I believe somebody named Satan or something like that. Like, isn't it something? I thought it was devil related. That actually, it's like a very minor character that actually causes Xavier's injury, isn't it? I'm looking this up.
Do it.
It's like somebody that nobody even knows who this character is.
You're talking about Mephisto?
I thought it was Mephisto, but it's not the modern Mephisto in Marvel Comics. It's somebody like I said, it's somebody that I didn't even know. Like whenever I came, Lucifer.
Yeah.
An alien. It says in a strange town near the Himalayas, Xavier encounters an alien calling himself Lucifer, the advanced scout for an invasion by his race. And foils his plans. In retaliation, Lucifer drops a huge stone block on Xavier, crippling his legs.
Yeah.
I knew it was some minor character like that. You know?
Yeah, I knew it was a minor character. I couldn't remember who it was.
And I have no idea who Lucifer is.
Yeah, he didn't know anywhere.
So many people in the Marvel Universe claiming to be the devil, Lucifer, whoever. It's hard to keep track, Kerry. Yeah, so.
Yeah. It's so convoluted right now.
Blackheart.
Yeah.
So I know we've covered a lot of Marvel movies in our other podcasts and already so far on this one. So I thought we would cover some of the upcoming ones. I mean, God, they have the wave of movies coming out mapped out pretty far ahead and stuff's always getting leaked. I mean, we know what's around the corner to a good degree. So I thought that would be a cool thing for us to talk about now. I mean, gentlemen, you know, before, you know, somebody like comes to my house and sets me on fire for not realizing off the top of my head, what is the next Marvel movie? I know one of you knows
Avengers
this.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why that was my assumption.
Is Ant-Man, is that DC or is that
Marvel? Ant-Man is Marvel.
Ant-Man is Marvel.
Oh, wow. Bite your tongue's gone.
To be fair.
I honestly don't know which way they're going with Ant-Man. I'm actually kind of confused what direction
I am so disappointed with Ant-Man already, and I haven't even seen the movie. I'm not normally one of those types of people, but I'm just
Is Paul Rudd playing him?
Being in it for some reason.
Is Paul Rudd
no? I just don't know why Martin Sheen is telling the guy who has the technology for Ant-Man, "Yeah, I need you to be Ant-Man for me." I thought Pym was the original creator of this.
Yes, Martin Sheen.
It's Michael Douglas playing Ant-Man.
Well, it's not Martin Sheen. I thought it was Martin Sheen.
No, it's Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas is playing Hank Pym,
which angers me. They're not even starting with the Hank Pym story. They're starting with Hank Pym.
Yeah, that's pretty late.
That's why I didn't understand it. And who's the actor playing the new Ant-Man? I don't know.
Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy from Hangover is playing Scott Lang. And
that's him?
Janet, Hank Pym's wife, is dead. So we won't see her in the Marvel Universe at any point in time, which angers me.
I'd like to start by saying that Marvel was smart, and I do give them props, because what they have been doing to us in comic books for years and forcing us to buy other issues and run into other stories of other universes to stay with a current issue or story or a character that we already love, to incorporate that into the movies after all these years, because you always got like a little hint at the end, like to be continued and showing something that all part two might come. This was something completely different. That they purposely did this to set this up and align all the characters and throw hints and Easter eggs and to align into this whole Avengers thing. And then it wasn't even that small. It was something so much bigger. And
it's genius
because they've done this in comics for years. And for no one ever to think to do that into the movies, they did it. They went there.
Well, the thing about it is they had the pool of characters. Like, it's a challenge for a lot of the other places because they don't necessarily have, like, a pool of characters like that. They had this whole world already that they just didn't have.
Technically, you call it, because remember, what was it, the 80s when Marvel sold off, like, a whole chunk of their characters to everybody?
Right.
I mean, they owned the movie rights to them. I mean, so another Sony, anyone, Fox could have thought of this years ago. Anyone could have thought of it. You know, you have all those independent comic companies that they still own the rights to their cat or did. Who owned the Max? You had Image, you had Dark Horse. I mean, there's people who have put out smaller companies, decent characters that are known that they could have did set this up too. But my point was what we thought what we were getting, it wasn't even close.
It exceeded your expectations, essentially.
Yeah, they have a bigger plan that we probably still think we know that we don't know. Galaxy thing. They're going into like higher powers and galaxies. And who knows what limits they're going to push this to. They're setting it up for Avengers. No, they're setting this thing up to all like the cosmos and all the gods and what were they called? The original gods? They have a name. Like they came before Galactus.
The Titans.
Galactus actually shows respect to certain type of gods that they were around before original. Like they're going into that because they tied these mini films and their TV shows into these movies. The genius of not showing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for like a week or two to wait to show an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that technically that literally aligned the day before Captain America was released was genius with the helicarrier.
Right, where they actually like have a little like tie in to the movie.
They literally tied it in the day before the movie was released. If you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. the next day Captain America came out, they tied that last episode or two into that, which was genius. And they're still doing that. They're still doing that in the shows because what they did, anyone who watches S.H.I.E.L.D., they basically started going into aliens and other races and Sky being part of some kind of other race. And they did the same thing in Guardians.
Yeah.
They did the same thing in Guardians. That's the only reason he was able to hold on so long at the end, because they said he was half human and half something else, and they didn't say what he was.
And you know what they've been hinting at is who his father is?
I don't know, but I think I didn't pick anything up, so please educate me. But I think
they've hinted, I've read online, they've hinted at it being the Collector.
I've read that as well, yeah.
And that they were paying the guy Yondu to pick him up and bring him to the, like, that's who, you know, how the father paid.
The movie, they were like, his father, what they call his father, a dick? And then they were like, we're glad we didn't bring him to his father. Ha ha ha, he paid us to get him.
Yeah, they said they said something like, you know, detrimental to his character.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that guy's a freak or something like that, you know what I mean?
My name, a curse. But it's just, I think they're going to go, like, literally into all those, you know, the older stories, into the different wars.
I mean, I would love it if they came up to a storyline, like, we're going to have the Infinity Gauntlet stuff come up real soon.
Well, imagine if they bring on the whole Shi'ar Empire, Kree soldiers, Skrulls, if they go that deep into it. Imagine the type of movies, and if they do them right.
Now, does Fox own Galactus or just the Fantastic Four? And then
I think they own Galactus. That's why
because I would love to see some Galactus action too.
I believe that's why they couldn't put Galactus in this movie. They showed his helmet in a scene. It was an Easter egg. His helmet. When they were talking about a story, they showed his helmet in the background somewhere. I forgot because one of the Easter eggs that we're talking about online, they showed an image in the movie that it looked like his helmet, but it wasn't Galactus there, and they hinted about.
Did they also show Beta Ray Bill, Nick?
I heard rumors of that. I did not see it. I did see Howard the Duck. That was obvious.
Really?
Howard the Duck was obvious. I looked up the Beta Ray Bill thing. I saw some of that, which, I mean...
His helmet is in the movie. Something that looks like his helmet, because I saw the images and they showed the scene, and I was like, why even is that in the background? When they were talking about the image when somebody tried to hold the stone the first time and they showed it in the background, the helmet, they actually... It looks just like his helmet. But I guess they couldn't say his name or put him in the movie because they don't own the rights.
Yeah.
So they were trying to hint towards him. Really? That way they didn't get any legal action towards
I really wish these guys would start playing nice and just share some rights here. Like unleash a couple characters back and forth.
There's no reason why they couldn't come together and all profit from this. That's what I'm saying.
Just be like, hey, here's a few more characters for you to play with in your universe. Let me have those ones back.
People were iffy on Guardians, but Guardians was something different, something new, and it had a lot of comedy in it.
I love the comedy.
I went into this movie not knowing what I to expect, and I know that everything wasn't on point and right to the comics, but it was so.
I think that's why people like it so much.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I'm sure Guardians beat everyone's expectations. I don't think most people went in
worried too much about the source material. I don't think there's a ton of old. I mean, don't correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I know there's people out there that probably are diehard old school Guardians of the Galaxy people, but I don't think compared to the other ones, as many people went in like having a preconceived notion of what they're going to see.
Probably had the younger crowd, especially children. Oh, I want to see a raccoon. And this big Groot thing, tree-looking thing. And then you had the adults that somewhat knew of them or were real hardcore fans. And they're like, oh, another Marvel movie. They've been pretty good. You know, they've been pumping them out. Go see it. But when you go, it's that movie was like for kids, for adults, for everyone. There were so many jokes. All the characters were constantly making jokes. It was just such a funny movie that how could you not enjoy it?
The thing about everybody coming together and using these characters, it's so sad. Just like from reading about Marvel, it is never gonna happen. Like they are just so petty. Like every single comic book company, even including Marvel, unfortunately, is so petty about their rights and how like sneaky they are. Like they'll rush things to press just to grab the rights. You know, and it happened over and over and over and over and over and over again, and I have like a bunch of stuff about it. But
are you kind of meaning like where they kind of have an idea of something the other company was working on, and they would hurry up and publish it so that they had
it's
the
most
character?
Time it's a lot of time it's like an existing property. Like I think one of them was Marvel Man, and Marvel rushed something out so that they could collect, because you have to like keep it in print. There was like a print contract, like
If you don't publish something, it goes out.
So they have to. They basically have to print this comic book, or they lose the rights. So they're basically just pumping out a comic book just to keep the rights, nobody else can have it.
Unfortunately, you know that also affects merchandise and action figures. You know that, right? Those contracts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because whenever there's a movie, they have a short time period. They're able to use the license to Diamond Select and other companies when they put out toys. When it's the movie figures, the actual movie figures, for some reason, like Spider-Man and all that, it's through Sony. There's a short window for how long they could produce those figures. And once they're out, they're not allowed to be reproduced. They're only allowed to be coincided with the movie to be current, and then they can't remake those specific movie figures. That's why a lot of the selects, that even though there's more Legends collectors and selects, well, at least in my opinion, some of those their values stay up, and they're still hard to find because they only have so much time to produce them because they don't own the rights. And on it says Marvel, Diamond, and Sony actually owns the rights to the Spider-Man. That's why when they do reissue some of these, they're only allowed to reissue certain characters, And if you notice, it was never the movie characters. It was the regular Thor, the regular this, the regular that. They usually don't do the movie stuff, especially with Spider-Man and some of the other ones, because they don't. Sony owns the rights to Spider-Man. They get and something with I don't know why. I don't assume to know everything. I don't know why they do that actually with most of the movie ones. Period. Even the ones that Marvel still own, but they can't do it with the other franchise, like with Sony, like Spider-Man stuff. They can't re-put them out. So I don't know why there's such a short window on the movie figures, period, the licensing, and especially the figures that they don't own anymore. But I guess because of the movie, there's some kind of loophole or some stipulation, but there's money to be made.
Yeah,
it's better making a piece with the other company that you hate than make nothing.
Yeah, I hear you, but has anybody read about how Quicksilver can be, just to kind of segue into another upcoming movie?
Yes, he's allowed in both universes. He's been
they're going to make no mention, as long as they don't say that he's
not a mutant.
Yes. Exactly. It is disturbing. Yeah.
Well, there's Scarlet Witch will be in it as well.
Like, yeah, and they can't. They basically make up.
As long as they're not mutants, they're allowed to have it.
And they can't be, like, birthed by, what's his name?
Magneto.
Yeah.
That's why they're having Baron von Strucker have them as, like, almost like DNA altered.
Yeah, they were acting like they were using, power from the Tesseract to manipulate them?
Power and from the Tesseract power to make them the way they are, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I mistaken that an Olsen plays Scarlet Witch? Like one of the Olsen twins' younger siblings plays the Scarlet Witch?
I don't know.
I didn't see that. I did not look into who was playing Scarlet
Witch. Okay, if it's one of their other siblings, I can let that go. If it would have been one of the Olsen sisters, I would have had to hang up right now. And
right. No, if it was when I heard that, I thought it was one of the Olsen twins.
I'll leave the country. I will go to somewhere that doesn't have cable or movie theaters.
Cyrus is playing Scarlet Witch.
Who is it?
It's Elizabeth Olsen.
Is she related?
Well, it's not Michelle Tanner, so I can live with it.
She is. She's a younger sister.
Yes, it is an Olsen. It's like having a Culkin in your movie.
But it's not one of the legit Olsen sisters. Like
no.
The,
yeah,
with
it's
the
not one of the twins. It is not Michelle from Full House.
She's younger.
I heard John Stamos is playing the Vision.
Who's going to... Who's going to be Joey? when was there an Avenger with a puppet?
Woodchuck. The Woodchuck
puppet.
The Woodchuck is going to come and join the team. He's going to be the one to defeat Ultron.
Yeah. Bob Saget's Ultron.
You know what I love about Bob Saget?
What?
It's like, I remember him as a kid on that, you know, on Full House and how, like, Disney of a dad he was. And then you hear him do a stand-up. He's like, cocksucker this. And, you know, like, every word out of his mouth is the most filthy thing you've ever heard.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's great. I didn't know that until about 2 months ago whenever I heard stand-up done by him.
Yes. His comedy's always been like that. And yet they pick him to be the real-life Flanders, basically.
That's crazy. I don't understand it.
It's like, well, it was between him and Andrew Dice Clay. And he just kind of, you know... He didn't actually rape one of the girls while he was auditioning. We went with him.
They could have got Bill Cosby, but...
Yeah, right? But yeah.
I'm looking forward to the Ant-Man movie. I don't know about you, Nick. I mean...
Oh, again, I will always watch any movie that comes out.
The only problem I have is they're not going to have Ant-Man in the Avengers.
That's going to bother me. That's going to bother me. All of the above will bother me, but I will still watch it and enjoy the movies to a certain extent.
Yeah, I'll still watch it, but it's just it's really kind of one of those thorns in my side that I'll remember as I'm watching the movie.
Now, just to point out to you, Scott, because I know that you're not as familiar with that character, Henry Pym... is Hank Man, or is Hank Man, is Ant-Man in the comics. And Ant-Man and Giant-Man are actually the same person.
Like, well, actually, he's been multiple characters over the years.
Oh, multiples, yeah.
Those are like the two main ones, though.
Well, yeah, that's what he's famous for.
I know there's subsets, but like, just like he can shrink himself down, he can make himself large. Like, I never, like, I guess I'm going to be Giant Man this month. You know, I feel like being big for a while. And then, like, I'm going to be a little fellow again. But then, like, he was also a villain for a while known as Yellow Jacket.
Yes. Oh, my God. And that's who the villain is in the movie.
And how confusing is that?
That's horribly confusing.
It's the same person.
I saw in one version of the comics. I don't think it was the original. Someone actually stole his technology and became Yellow Jacket. It was a thief, but kind of bank robber or something. And
see, I thought they basically unmasked or found out, it turned out to be Hank himself. I thought was the reveal to that. I thought.
At one point that did happen where Hank Pym was revealed as Yellow Jacket, but I know what Nick's talking about. At one point, there was somebody else who actually stole the Yellow Jacket
and took up the mantle
costume and took up the mantle and became a villain again after Hank Pym had done it because they thought it was Hank Pym again.
I see.
It turns out to be Ultron.
Are you drinking again?
Pretty much.
Are you shooting up again?
Are you shooting up, dressing up as a villain and fighting us?
Yeah.
Are you shooting up? Were you watching Max Payne?
Watching Max Payne. Don't direct movies on heroin.
I think this Ant-Man movie's, it's going to be a good movie, but it's just going to be confusing.
Well, that's the other confusing part for everybody that's not as familiar with the character. They have Henry Pym playing the guy giving the equipment to Paul Rudd, who is an Ant-Man.
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas.
What did I say?
I don't know.
I didn't say his name. Okay.
Hank Pym. Yeah.
Yeah. And like that, I mean, that's very confusing because unless I'm mistaken, there's never been like a handoff. Like it's always been Henry Pym created the technology and he was the person. There wasn't like, oh, there's this old dude that's given me the role of the character and now I'm the character. I don't know if that's changed over the years, but my recollection.
No, it's not on anything.
It fit to Scott Lang at one point. Scott Lang became Ant-Man.
And I mean, is that who Paul Rudd is playing? Does anybody know if that's...
Paul Rudd is playing Scott Lang.
Okay.
But the thing is it almost messes up the continuity of the Marvel Universe because when the Avengers become a team, Hank Pym is supposed to be there.
Well, isn't he also a younger man than they have him being portrayed?
He's a young man. He's supposed to be there, and he's the one who creates Ultron, who they're battling
in the Avengers movie. Instead, they're having it be...
because in the original story, wasn't it Hank Pym who created Ultron?
Yeah,
and then later they made it to Tony Stark.
And then
that's the story that blew up and it became more famous and sold more comics. So that from that day forward, they kept going with the whole Stark thing, because in Age of Ultron, they're still blaming Tony.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're blaming Tony for creating him.
Yeah.
Because somebody turned to him and said something to him in one of the previews. This is your fault or something. This all happened because of you, and I think they fought or something.
Yeah.
And it was actually Hank Pym who created him originally.
Yes.
So unless they're going to do what they did with X-Men and somebody went back and passed and erased the whole movie. X-Men, all they did was erase X-Men 3. Like, that's exactly what they did. Like, we're gonna just erase. It was the only movie I didn't direct. What was his name? Because this guy directed all of them but X-Men 3. So, like, he got to do this one again. Oh, well, you know what? I'm deleting the other movie.
People to do the third one.
They need to go back in time and erase Wolverine Origins. That's what they need to do. They need to just wipe that one off the map. That's a whole movie that I can spend the whole podcast on.
You don't like Baraka Deadpool?
What?
Oh, man.
Baraka Deadpool?
Yeah, Baraka with his little...
Baraka from Mortal Kombat? That's what they decided Deadpool was going to be in that movie?
Ridiculous.
No, That was their travesty of a train wreck they tried to pass off as the Merc with the Mouth.
I see you wrote your synopsis for this character, Deadpool, and you just took a shit on this piece of paper.
That's what happened.
The Merc with the Mouth, his mouth was so closed so he couldn't talk.
Yeah, right? I mean, that didn't make any sense.
Hey, let's give him laser eyes.
Let's give him laser eyes. What if he shoots lasers out of his eyes?
You know what else would be really cool? If you could teleport. Let's do that.
Not with any kind of technology, just like because he can do it.
Yeah. You know what? Hey, you know this character everybody loves? Nah, we're going to fucking mess them all up.
Where did you get the blade arms? Ah, fuck. I was playing Mortal Kombat 2 like yesterday, and it just seemed kind of cool. It's
popped out.
Yeah, we just want to send a lot of people to counseling. You know, we just want to destroy one of the favorite characters. We have the power. We can do it.
We can do it.
We'll do what we want.
I'm going to make little children cry. Movie.
I like how
they're going to make children and grown men cry.
I like how his biggest attribute is his mouth, and that was the thing that they immediately dispose of.
They do make a joke about it. I think Stryper says something about, you know, he doesn't need to talk or something like that. I don't know.
It still doesn't give them.
It's still stupid.
Stupid.
Yeah.
It just seems like what was the reasoning behind it? Like, he needs to have his mouth sewn shut. Like that.
They didn't want to pay Ryan Reynolds any more than they had to.
Yeah, so. Right. They're like, we got to explain why we're out of money for paying this guy.
We're paying him per line, so we have to really cut down.
I'm waiting for the
Deadpool. I like Ryan Reynolds, man.
Fixes it.
I think he's a perfect Deadpool.
He could have been a great Deadpool. I don't know. I don't know why they did that. DC was on crack, but heroin again.
Green Lantern, great Deadpool. Yeah.
What's going on with that test footage they put out for Deadpool?
They're gonna make a movie. It's gonna be PG-13.
Was that trailer even PG-13?
No, that wasn't a trailer.
What I read was that trailer that got kind of famous like 2 years ago, and then again a year ago, and now recently again, it's already like 2 years old or 3 years old, was a independent studio that wanted to prove that we deserve good Deadpool, and we can do it. And they tried to do that not only to spark the whole Deadpool movie / franchise, excuse me. They wanted to be able to do it. So, what was that?
I said, are you sure you're not drinking your hiccup in the...
I was trying not to eat while we spoke, but she made me tacos, and I shoved one down my throat, and now I keep hiccuping.
Yeah. Like, eating chicken shirtless, Kerry.
I knew he was. I know.
Tacos and a Speedo.
Oh, my. Man.
No, but they did that to prove a point that we need the movie and that they can handle it. And they were trying to get, you know, either funding or someone to sign them on, and... I don't know what happened because the trailer is definitely about 2 years old, if not longer.
I'm pretty sure they got funding because I read about it, and then they were talking about how it was going to be PG-13, and the guy was like defending it, which I understand. I mean, I understand it has to be.
We want money. That's his defense.
Ryan Reynolds in an interview, and he announced that he was playing Deadpool. He said it's in production.
Yeah, it's happening. So,
see, I thought at one point, too, that Reynolds had said that he was going to make a stand that he wouldn't do it unless it was R. I guess that, you know, I unless I'm crazy, I recall reading something about Reynolds only wanting to be signed.
I think I did, too. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. Because, look, Thomas Jane supposedly funded that short film that he did to prove that he could give the fans the Punisher that they deserve, and that little short film was actually awesome.
You know what? I'm not even aware of this.
Yeah, I didn't hear about
it. Yeah, that short film was awesome. I mean, better than anything they ever did.
How do you guys feel about the Punisher movies?
Oh, they could have definitely did a better job. And let's not talk about London one. Let's make believe it never existed.
Oh.
Wait, what'd you say, Nick?
Why are you hating on Dolph Lundgren?
I said they could have did a better job, and let's talk about the Dolph Lundgren one. Let's make believe it never existed.
That disturbed me as
Nick
a child.
He's like, ass Nick in the sewer, like, I'm the Punisher. And I love the Punisher. He's one of my favorite characters of all time.
He's awesome.
Poor little Nick's like, why is he naked? I don't understand.
Like just sitting in the sewer naked. Like, you know what kind of diseases you could probably get just sitting in the sewer naked?
He's an angry dude, Nick. That's why he's so angry. You know what I mean? Goddamn crotch is always itching from this sewer.
But bullets are flying at him. But please, God, Mr. Punisher, don't catch anything while you're sitting in the sewer.
He was like getting ready to fight. Like he had to like amp himself up mentally. So I'm going to strip naked and just sit on some like sewage, like while it's rolling by.
It's not a Dolph Lundgren movie without his ass somewhere around. Yeah.
Let's just agree that Thomas Jane Punisher was the best, Nick.
Oh, yes, it was. It was. It was. It was. And I enjoyed Warzone, but something about the Thomas Jane one really...
Yeah, Warzone was good. I think they could have got a better Punisher, better, you know...
Well, if you've seen that short film, man, that was awesome. That short film that he took part in was awesome. It was like 10 minutes long, and it was great. You can find it on YouTube. I don't know what the proper description is to look it up. If you probably put, I think, Thomas Jane short film or Thomas Jane Punisher, it'll come up. I mean, that short film, it was maybe 10 minutes, and it was awesome. And he apparently funded it and had some people come together to try and give another run at the Punisher and was hoping that they would try another movie and get him to do it. And I don't know if it was before Warzone or after Warzone, but it's a nice trailer.
What? I have still not watched Warzone
Don't
yet.
Watch Warzone because it was excruciatingly violent, but it was just awful. But
well, I think, again, killing off because if you read the original Punisher comics, if you legitimately read them, Micro is a key character.
Yeah. Yeah,
Micro, the key character in the 80s, like all his original run, what was it, like 120 something issues, or 20 something or 70 something. Micro was in.
It was 170 something. Yeah.
It like even in the miniseries, the Marvel Spotlight, you know, well, I don't know if he was in the Spotlight. All his original issues, Micro was the one that got him helped him get his gun, his info, built his vans for him. Micro was like his right hand man. Yeah. And Warzone came, like they were telling the story again, and then boom, dead.
Boom, dead.
Dead.
Yeah.
I think like, maybe they just dead. Feel like they need some like expendable characters, and they just pick the wrong one.
You killed the man's family. Yeah. You killed the man's family, and you showed it in Warzone. Like his family was dead. He was crying about it, reminiscing, like, oh, let's just kill his biggest asset that he has in the history of Punisher. You know, right away in the first movie, like with this guy from the HBO Rome, Ray Stevenson or whatever. You know, like, I never see the point of killing a key family member, friend, character, girlfriend, ally, or enemy right away in the first movie, especially within the first, like, 15 minutes. That makes no sense. Person in the second movie, the third movie, if you must. But in the first movie, when you're rebooting or doing a period, why are you going to kill off, like, their teacher, their right-hand man in the first movie? Like, it doesn't make sense. Or in the first couple of minutes. At least wait till the last scene of the movie and kill that person.
But well, like it makes for good drama. It makes for good drama.
Yeah,
and
it's a plot point.
They have to market
these to people beyond the, you know, normal comic book reader. You know, it's not just us going to see these movies anymore as, quote, nerds.
The people have, the money they put out for their writers and their talented artists, they could not create any other type of drama and wait at least till the end of the movie to kill a character.
They could, but they already have these other characters readily at hand. Why not? I mean...
But the way they normally kill them, too, is kind of ridiculous. Instead of, you kill a character, a key character is dramatic. Okay, I'll give you that. But you don't let Superman, who could fly, witness his father get whished away by some wind. Like, how about...
Don't get me wrong. I agree with you, Nick. I agree with you 100%. I don't think you should be killing off these characters like this, but there's reasoning behind why they do it.
At least have a better method of death. Like, he choked on a grape. I wasn't there. Shit.
They could have saved him.
Some wind scooped up his dad when he could fly and, like, has the power of gods and killed him. Like, it could have been an explosion set by LexCorp. And he didn't catch it quick enough, and then that was tragic. That's acceptable. Superman did not know there was some C4. He couldn't smell it. He's not a dog. X blue sign up, and Jonathan Kent happened to be there, and he's mourning. Fine. That's dramatic. But it's a tornado. No, son. Don't show your powers. Bye. Whoopee! I'm dead.
Since we're talking about comics and superheroes and, you know, movies and everything, what do you think about the price increase in comic books after movies are coming out? I mean, I've been thinking about this past couple weeks. Like, I saw Rocket Raccoon's first appearance, and it's tripled in price in the past, like...
Oh, that's old.
I think that's good. I think that, like, because if anything needs a resurgence, is the comic industry.
They really do.
The value of that stuff is so low, it's just sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when something stirs it up, you can look at it both ways. I mean, it sucks whenever something like that goes up for the people that were already collecting it, and you have
Let's talk about current events. Hulkbuster. Hulkbuster, there's no reason why that figure should be $100. There's no reason.
Yes.
No it's reason. All hype. It's the movie movies hype. Come out,
all the stuff goes up, but the problem is it'll go
up. Going up is one thing. Rape is another.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what Katie does. Sodomy.
How is that acceptable?
I had to work on it.
That's not. If he's a $40 figure and now he's like $55, $60, maybe. Yeah. Even $65. Well, $100?
Like they said, the comic book tripled. I mean, the same goes with the figures a lot of times.
It does. And that's the thing. Like I was saying, whenever the comic books and the figures raise like that, they're going to hit a downward trend right after the popularity.
Be happy that the value goes up, because you know what, I just told somebody the other day, you know, because they're always surprised whenever they think, you know, something is contrary to what they believe it to be. Somebody was like, oh yeah, you better get those up because the movies are going out, you know, and stuff like that. And they were talking about Ninja Turtles at the time, and I was like, yeah, you know, they go up briefly, but then a lot of the other properties, like Turtle Toys, are really down right now. And it's because of the movie, because it gets saturated. Like the market, everybody's like, oh, movie's out, got to sell them.
Now, back to Dave's main point. I expect that, Dave. I expect some things to even double, not just go up slightly double, but four times, five times, six times, 10 times the value. I think that's ridiculous. I personally won't pay it. If other people want to, that's fine. Now, when the retailers take advantage and see they're doing good with the figures and these movies – and they were $16.99 about a year and a half ago. Then they're $18.99. Now they're $21.99, $22.99. Most common Marvel figures and DC have gone up from anywhere from $14 to $16 to into the mid 20s now. And they're gonna stay up there, because now I think the new ones are supposed to be like $24. So every 6 months or so, you get another dollar to increase in the last 2 years.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, because the quality hasn't improved either. It's actually gone down.
At all. They reuse like in the 90s, they're reusing the molds more than ever now, because they don't want to keep making specific molds. Remember in the 90s, all the women were the same. Psylocke, Elektra, everyone, they were just painted red, purple. Yeah.
And I noticed that Toxin figure that I had recently, he's got boots instead of feet.
Yeah.
Like it should just be like bare feet. He's got boots.
That's from the Sabretooth figure that was made for the Wolverine wave. Remember that Wolverine wave?
But look what they did now with the new anti-venom. It's Toxin, repainted white and black.
That's all it is. It's Toxin.
It's an already bad figure made more insulting.
Yeah.
I mean, so now they're staying with two or three basic male molds and female molds. Okay, so they're saving money by not making different molds and sculpts, right?
But they're going to eventually bite the hand that feeds them if they don't step their game.
Applications are not getting any better at all.
I don't know, though. Have you seen some of the new head sculpts that have been coming out?
The head sculpt is the only thing they're doing different. But what I'm saying is they're using the same bodies, the same paints. The applications are not any better. The only thing they're doing different is the head sculpts. And then some of them, they're not. Because Radioactive Man, Luke Cage, and a whole bunch of other figures are the same dude.
Yeah, but listen to me. That's the thing that baffles me. They're putting more accessories in the figures than they have in the past. In the past 2 years.
The imports. They're trying to compete with the imports.
Exactly. And they're doing better head sculpts than they have in the past couple years. Why can't they up their game with the body molds?
That's maybe that's where they're trying to save their money from the increase in the other quality.
Yeah, but they're not making multiple body molds either anymore. They literally have like a larger male mold, a smaller male mold, maybe one in the middle, and the same thing with the female. They're only doing two or three basic molds from now on, and then doing the sculpts, the head sculpts.
Hasbro's not stupid. They're a major corporation. They have to realize that a big part of their market is collectors, and they have to realize if they give us a better product, we'll be willing to pay
a little bit more money. Yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Why wouldn't they do that? Why wouldn't they give us that? That is beyond me. That's the part I don't get. I mean, they have to be on these forums watching what we say.
They do.
And they know.
They know.
It's still all about the bottom dollar, you know, the bottom line.
Well, that was back to my point, Dave. Like, we're getting – they're reusing all the molds now, the last couple of waves. They're reusing the shit out of these molds, right? Different head sculpts. Some of them are awesome. Some of their head sculpts have definitely gotten 100 times better. And then they'll just give us a piece of crap like Toxin. Okay. Yeah. But the problem is the paint apps are not getting any better. The bodies are being reused. We're only getting new head sculpts. Now we're getting some new accessories, and the price is increasing.
Since we've talked about movies a lot, we've touched on figures quite a bit sporadically throughout. So I wanted to make sure we saved just a little bit of time for cartoons. I was going to have you guys just real quick tell me, because I know, you know, I've seen both your collections. You guys have an arsenal of Marvel toys. If you had to pick one Marvel figure or toy, what would it be? Like, if you had to just slash and burn the rest of them, you could only keep one. Oh, what man. Would be the one you save? And that's the thing. I'm going to make it real bad. You have to pick one and then burn the rest of them in front of him. Yeah. Like, I picked you, guy. You don't. You're not in the fire with them. So whoever comes, whoever wants to start.
Do you want to go first, Nick?
No, definitely not, because I have no clue.
I know who mine will be.
Do it.
My masked face-off Captain America Legends figure.
Right on.
Yeah.
Now, what? Tell me why. I mean, there's a lot of Captain Americas out there. That's a very specific one. Like, what is it about him that I need to keep him?
Well, that particular figure is the best Captain America figure they've ever created.
Yes, I agree on that. Best Captain America.
The nicest one. It's got the best articulation. It's got the best paint apps. And to me, it actually, it kind of, not only is it the nicest, best looking figure I have of all of my figures, that is the first figure I ever bought for Legends.
Right on.
I found that figure at a flea market, still sealed in the package, for $3.
Nice.
And it goes for roughly $100 in package. Right. So, yeah.
It's a nice find.
Yeah, it was a nice find. I didn't know at the time that I had found something like that, but I opened it up, and that's what caused my passion for Legends, and I've never let it out of my sight ever since. I would literally throw all my other figures in a pyre before I would get that one.
And then you'd snuggle them and say, it's just you and me, Cap.
It's me.
Take your mask
it's
off. Yeah.
Sister, it's the world, Cap.
You know, I'm probably going to be judged by a lot of people with what I'm going to say, but I don't care.
Long shot?
No. Claw! No, I get it. No, honestly, there's so many figures I love. I couldn't pick a figure that I can honestly say from my heart I love so much that that'd be the one. I can't answer your question the way you want me to answer it. But my two hardest figures that took me forever to obtain, that I wanted for so long, and I would break my head and try to find a way to come up with the money in one shot or trade for it, and was always out of my reach until recently. And I got both of them recently. Was the Light McFarlane Spider-Man that is one of the holy grails of Marvel collecting. Even though
McFarlane Spider-Man's are a big deal.
Yeah, but the light one, which the dark one is more accurate, actually, to the comic book. But the light one is the one that's loved more than ever, than anyone. It's the one that goes in box still sometimes $400. I never had owned one. A lot of figures out there that are rare I've owned and I've traded or sold or broke. And didn't care until now. And I'm like, why did I do that? But that McFarlane Spider-Man and Giant Man. Were the two figures that eluded me for so long. I never owned until recently.
I got to watch Nick build this Giant Man because I made him do it on camera.
Yeah. I got all the pieces, and most of them were in the box. I got most of the figures actually in the line and on card. Maybe two figures were loose, but I got the pieces with them. And I opened them. Carrie actually helped me open most of the figures. And we built it together in a store. And those are the two figures that eluded me for so long. Which, Giant Man, at one point, you could have got one for $120. But to dump $120 at once can be tough.
I know that, you know, just like there's like a billion mediums that all this stuff's represented in. Another one I wanted to touch upon was cartoons. Because, I mean, before the big budget movies, that was your next best representation after the comics, you know, and they had a lot of bad ones back in the day. And when I say bad, I mean, they were probably good for the era. But I mean, when I was a kid, until And I'm going to mention one that's not Marvel just to throw it out there, because the ones that stand out the most to me when it's like, okay, now we have real comic book real comic book cartoons. It's going to have to be X-Men animated series, Spider-Man animated series, Batman animated series. Those three cartoons were like, this is the real deal. This is a real medium. This is an awesome story to be told, and we're going to do it well.
That's the holy.
They did Iron Man and a few other ones too.
And they did, but they didn't. They just weren't up to the par with.
They
the
weren't. They weren't good.
They were okay. There was some okay stuff in those, but these ones were just, they were head and shoulders above the rest of them.
Oh yeah, no, they definitely were.
Yeah. And there was as far as like the cartoons and stuff like that, they actually impacted the comic books a lot. There was one thing.
Oh, for sure.
I'm trying to find it. It's it was some part of some character or something that they were going to have in the actual cartoon itself, and then the Marvel like rushed it to print, so it would go out before the actual like cartoon put it out. So it was like they were
What a lot of people don't know is people know part of what I'm going to say is Marvel decided to reboot majority of their mainstream characters in like I would like to say between 88 to like 92. They're, in 91, I believe it was 91, they rebooted Spider-Man and a few other key characters. They did one or two other guys in like 88, 89 and a few guys into like 92, 93. A lot of Marvel characters were created when they rebooted the comics in the early 90s. Multiple good guys and villains were created. I mean, Venom was created, what was that, 89?
Something like that.
Yeah.
In like 98, 99, and 300, issue 300, it was like partial boxes.
It was start of a new generation of characters, for sure.
Carnage was created. Same thing with Batman. Harley Quinn wasn't created in, was it 88 or 91 or around that era, too?
It was created for the Batman series.
Yeah, it was 90s.
Yeah, right before these cartoons, they wanted to reboot their characters. DC started. Marvel, of course, did it. I don't want to say DC's always biting off Marvel, but every time Marvel does a reboot, they happen to just, unless they catch wind of it and Marvel rushes to do it first, usually Marvel does it, DC follows right away. The reason is behind there. Somebody trying to beat someone to it.
Yeah.
But they started doing it too into the 90s, and we got a lot of decent DC characters. But in those shows was like, we got characters that was just awesome that were just created. And it happened to like coincide more or less in the same time frame where we got a new character in the comics, and then the characters were jumping into other people's comics, and were from Amazing Spider-Man to Web of, like the whole Carnage thing. The whole Carnage thing when he was like through San Francisco and rampaging, he jumped back and forth between like Web of, Amazing, Spectacular, and you had to buy all them issues even if you didn't read it.
Yeah,
it was like crazy. They were doing that hard, and it was cool.
Look at Hobgoblin. Hobgoblin wasn't created until, that era. And he was part of that whole generation that came out of, those cartoons and that reboot.
And I was going to say, too, is like, Nick was talking about how all that stuff changed around that same time period. For me, I guess that would be like them almost making it our generation of characters. You know what I mean? Like every once in a while, they kind of revision those characters to kind of fit for a new generation. And I mean, like that was when that you have the Jim Lee representation of X-Men and stuff like that, too. And that's my representation of X-Men.
Yeah, me too.
When I think about that, that's what I think of. That's what those characters are represented by in my mind. And honestly, that era is where I got into comics more, because comics were kind of a thing for me here and there up until like those cartoons came out. But after those cartoons came out, that just shot me right over the edge into like, man, I gotta start checking this stuff out. You know what I mean?
That was the thing. Anyone who's around our age, maybe a little younger, a little older, that read, like there's a lot of people like us that read a little, but knew the characters, favored them, maybe collected some cards. There was cartoons that were out before we were born of these characters.
I started collecting the X-Men comic books, and I'm talking when I collected it, I picked up every series, every offshoot, and I did that from the time the animated cartoon came out until I was a senior in high school. I collected X-Men from that. Yes, I have that complete run from then.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I mean, Spider-Man the Animated Series was my first introduction to any Spider-Man character you could think of. I mean, I did not know who Blade, Morbius, you know, Electro, Shocker, anybody was until I had watched that cartoon. And I went out and I got the comic books after I got saw that cartoon.
And they did a great job representing all those characters.
They really did.
That's the best part. You could watch those cartoons and you weren't picking up the comic book and feeling lost. You were picking up the comic book and going, oh, I saw that character on TV. Right. I can get into these books.
And there was a good correlation between the two.
Anyone who was somewhat interested in these worlds already and started picking up these new rebooted comics, and then they released the animated series, it was like you were hooked on crack.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't stray away. Yeah, when that theme song came on, which is my ringtone, damn, and it's like it was such a strong kick and kicks off so strong. You're like, what is that?
It did have a really powerful X-Men
running and charging. You see, like, Wolverine slashing his claws, Jean Grey with her kinetic psychic powers, Professor Xavier, same thing, touching his head, Magneto, like, all angry, like, energy around his arm.
I'm excited that I actually remember the first time I watched the show, because I was at my friend's house and I was all like, all right, man, we got to check this out. This is going to be great. You know what I mean? I'm like, and he wasn't as excited about it as I was. And I'm sitting there and that theme song comes on, like you said, that badass intro, and they're fighting Sentinels and all that. And it ends and I'm like, wow, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen. And my friend's just like, eh. You know what I mean? And I'm just like,
that's where you slap.
This just changed my life.
Then at the end. At the end was one of the best parts, because you were like, oh, especially the first time until you saw it, you're like, oh my God. Because you see the good guys on one side, the bad guys on the other, and they're charging at each other. You're like, oh, like you're about to see a scene from 300.
You get to see all the previews and that just by that intro of the characters that are going to be on the show.
Yes.
They really did make sure to like include people to like include like so many characters. And
yes. And I was so glad to see Juggernaut, especially.
That was the best. Man, the Spider-Man animated series and the X-Men, they had such a strong run and did so well because they did it the right way. Mm-hmm. They included so many people. They went into it. It was almost like a soap opera.
And they did like big characters and like niche-y, more like loved characters. You know what I mean? It wasn't just all the popular ones. There was other ones in there that it's like, oh, this is maybe somebody's favorite character. It's not quite in the top 10 of the villains list. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What are their name? Morlocks?
Morlocks.
Yeah, like a lot. You think a lot of people really knew who they were.
I gave a crap less about the Morlocks until they came out in the show. And even then I was like, yeah, they're all right. But I was like, bunch of ugly people that don't got no good powers.
let's talk about Kazar and Sauron. Like,
I've never been a big fan of the Savage Land. I never liked Savage Land storyline.
And they lost their powers. Magneto didn't have his powers.
He could walk too.
Because back then he lost his powers because his mutant powers got so strong he lost the ability to walk. It overwhelmed his body. And he lost his ability to walk in the cartoons, in the Jim Lee cartoons. So all of a sudden he was on his island. And then who was behind it? Who's this guy? You kept seeing the red eyes and the laugh. Ha, 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 ha. You're like, what's that? It's awesome. And then you see him in his blue armor with this, like, fancy cape. Like, you're like, what the hell? It's a white face. You're like, I don't understand, but it's awesome. Like, who is he? He's so evil.
Mr. Sinister.
Yeah, it was great. It was great, man. And a lot of it was accurate to the comics.
So you know what I thought was funny from the cartoon? I was like, man, I think Mr. Sinister is going to rape Cyclops. He is really excited about that
angry
guy. Because he was like stalkery with him. You remember that? Like, he was always like creeping on him. And it's like, man, he is going to rape Cyclops.
Every episode Cyclops was there, you were looking for Mr. Sinister, like poking his head around the corner.
It's like, man, you know you're not supposed to be within like 50 yards of me, Sinister.
So says my restraining order.
I've had a lot of fun talking about Marvel, and of course, it's one of those topics that we could, you know, we could dedicate the whole show to Marvel and never cover, you know, all the things that we could talk about. And
we did just dedicate a whole show.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't. I mean show, not episode.
I don't know if you were here, Carrie.
I mean, like, our show like the is whole, about, oh, like, I gotcha. You know, okay, now, meanwhile, Warp Zone is only about Marvel. And
okay,
can
I gotcha, I gotcha.
Ever cover it. Episode, Scott, not show, episode.
Okay. Continue.
But anyway.
We touched on a lot. We got out of Marvel. We went into DC. We went into books.
I mean, it's always
touched on a lot.
When you're talking about something that big, it's going to spill over just because, I mean, it's affected and influenced and has influenced, you know, other things. And it's just, I mean, it's there's a lot of great stuff that have come from it. And in my opinion, this might be a very bold statement, but I mean, Marvel is as big, you know, today in the influence of fiction as somebody like Tolkien was, yeah. You know, many decades ago. And I mean, that might sound, you know, ridiculous to some people, but to me, I mean, I think that the effect may be even more widespread. And I think it's going to, you know, it's going to only grow and be a crazier, bigger behemoth of a thing. And hopefully they keep going in the right direction. I mean, they've actually put a lot of care into it, and they show that they actually give a crap about, you know, the way these characters are represented. And I think as long as they keep doing that, it's going to, you know, go nowhere but up.
I hope 100 years from now, people are still reading Spider-Man.
I hope so as well. And I'll be sad if they don't. It'll be like
he's one of my favorite characters.
100 years from now, they'll be like, and apparently they believed in this Spider-Man 100 years ago.
He was real.
He was real.
He lived in the streets of New York.
New York. He was a scientist that for some reason, instead of making money via science, he did it with photography.
Freelance photography.
I want to thank you both for being on the show. I knew that you guys would be great to be on here. I mean, you're both passionate about Marvel, and you know, I knew you'd enjoy speaking to it. So
thank you for having me, Carrie.
Right on. And please, you know, after listening to this, you know, check us out on our website, warpzoneonline.com, our Facebook, our Twitter. Once this episode has been published, it'll be put up on iTunes and YouTube. And, you know, just come check us out and, you know, have fun with us. And, you know, we're going to try to talk about cool stuff. And hopefully you're, you know, come and listen to it.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Have a good night, guys.
Have a good one, guys.
The Empire strikes back with multiple laser attack, Decepticon infiltration, stealing information, tapping communications with recordicons, target masses, sound wave stereo. I don't believe in a no-win scenario for an epic adventure, no retreat, no surrender. Cleaning up the city with Mayor Mike Hagar, clashing with the Foot Clan in the shadows of the streetlights, spotlights, bright lights. And if you've got a new pet, don't feed him after midnight. Cruising on our bicycles, we never say die. From the attic to the basement, uncovering the secrets with the power bracelet. Ryu and Ken style, kicking it on the pavement. 88 miles per hour, we out of time. Meanwhile, at Warp Zone.